It's striking how many of the sexual harassment scandals that have surfaced through the Me Too movement have occurred in the workplace. It's a reminder that harassment is as much about power as it is about sex. The movement shows no signs of going away, and that means workers of both genders need to refine a kind of workplace etiquette that can't be misunderstood. Cynthia Yamasaki is a business coach who conducts seminars in workplace behavior through her EE Path consulting firm.
Harassment can come in all forms, not just sexual innuendos, but also just bullying, just not treating each other with respect and professionalism, mm-hmm. where the other person feels threatened or uncomfortable. And it's to the point where it's not only their perception, but if any other reasonable person, male or female, and it's all under that Title VII, you know, laws mm-hmm. for discrimination, they can feel offended. And so there's definitions and different laws, and as well as a workplace values and their employee handbook that everyone should be aware of and always practice it.
Well, the idea of being witnessed by another person, is that a standard to apply if a third party might judge a word or deed to have been an act of harassment? That's a pretty good indicator that it is.
It could, and you know, it's a little bit of common sense. So a person should be observant and what I would call look for the signs, mm-hmm. you know, if it's inappropriate behavior. But it can be such a gray area, right? Sometimes it could be just that borderline of not sure, because it could be a cultural thing, like in Hawaii, where we might greet each other with a kiss on the cheek.
An embrace.
Mm-hmm. But to get to your question about if someone else observes, I think they should be aware. And if they notice, and it depends on their the situation, mm-hmm. they really feel like there was an obvious breach, to report it or to find out, you know, the information. But there's some subtleties that you need to really check with the other person.
That's where the confusion comes in the area of those subtleties,
yes,
right?
Yes, the subtleties.
I'm wondering how much of this is generational, and I'm thinking of I'm a baby boomer, right? So I grew up perhaps in an environment where I was led to believe that saying, isn't that a pretty, don't you look nice today, that's a pretty dress, that's very flattering to you. At what point does that cross the line?
You know, it could be taken the wrong way by the person, that the tone of voice, the proximity that you're standing to the person.
That's where the subtleties come in.
That's the subtleties come in, and you just have to be careful. I think when it's someone brand new that you're meeting, you might want to keep away from those personal observations and comments because you don't know how they're going to interpret it to be. You know, it just depends, right, on your values, your, like you said, generation, the mm-hmm. etiquette that we were raised with or no, and some other people might take it the wrong way, like, well, what do you mean? Does it mean, you know, what do you mean by that? And they look into it, so.
Well, because there are incidents where the perceived aggressor might think his or herself to have been perfectly innocent. I was just trying to be friendly.
Yes.
I mean, I'm sure you hear that,
yes.
right?
Yes, and so many times they say, well, that wasn't my intent.
Yeah.
But that's not the test. The test is really what was the, how was it perceived by a reasonable person, and the frequency of it and the pervasiveness.
The fact that so many of the harassment accounts have come from the workplace, what's the significance of that?
I think it's because we're working with people, and it's not only within the workplace with each other as employees. It's by where you are, whether it's supervisor to subordinate mm-hmm. or manager to subordinate, or even with customers sometimes, with clients. And in those gray areas that, you know, I like to share with people and see how they can practice and be aware of it, just mm-hmm. be aware, is how do you handle it diplomatically, don't have to feel uncomfortable walking on eggshells,
yeah.
but without saying the right message, but in a very diplomatic, tactful way. So within the workplace, I think harassment has occurred for many years.
Sure. You know,
in my experience in three decades with HR background, as well in corporations, major global corporations, as well as local companies and small nonprofits, it's because it all involves people. And we come from diverse backgrounds, experiences, and values. So,
has it gotten better over those three decades?
Well, you know, I think that's interesting, and the reason why that I have this new workshop that I call Respect at Work mm-hmm. is with the Me Too, you know, it really started back in 2006, the Me Too concept of making sure that there were more from the sexual harassment and more rights, mm-hmm. you know, for women. But and then it really, with the internet and Twitter, it just exploded back in October 2017.
Yeah.
So there's more awareness, which I think is a good thing. Because in my experience in HR, when we provide that training, it's constant compliance training is very important. It always has been, well, what is it? What is harassment? What are the laws? And very factual. Mm-hmm. But I think what's important is for people to know, well, what is it, but how do I handle it? And how do we do it with respect and for what purpose? Not to make people feel uncomfortable on how do I approach you, but just use some common sense.
We've seen a great many men, and I'll talk specifically about men for a moment, fall from grace.
Yes.
And since October in particular, when this groundswell began, many of them fell from grace on no more than an accusation. And I'm not deciding whether those accusations were fair or not, but there is that thing of an accusation is one thing, proof is another. Has the pendulum swung too far the other way to where an accusation is all you need to bring down an authority figure at work? And that could be male or female.
Well, I believe that it's a very sensitive thing. And what we're seeing in the media may be just one perspective. But in the true practice of investigations, it's something that's very confidential. And many people don't feel, or women don't feel, comfortable bringing it up mm-hmm. for various reasons. You know, things like they feel afraid that there's going to be retaliation. Or in larger companies when you have human resources, or smaller companies where the owners are the, you know, sure. they will feel uncomfortable because of the relationship that HR has with the top decision makers. They don't feel like there is a neutral zone, that they would be really fair. So I think that it's always been prevalent, but it's not only now people are becoming more comfortable to speak up. But the true cases involves a lot of investigation to make sure that it's factual and not just based on one observation or one yeah. opinion.
When you come into a company to consult with them and maybe raise awareness of this, what kind of steps do you take?
So initially it would be just to find out interviews, finding out what's happening, what are the symptoms, and then really try to come down to what is the root cause, mm-hmm. you know, communication, misunderstanding, or maybe just ignorance, unawareness. Mm-hmm. So there could be many different reasons, but it would be to make it known. And if it's a process where people understand that it's a breach of your company policies and ethics, that's why it's so important to have like an employee handbook, mm-hmm. that it may be directly breach of the laws that are out there. So, you know, it's a step-by-step process and like a CSI investigation.
Sure.
Yes.
When you present those guidelines within an organization, do some people profess surprise at what they are? I didn't know that this was inappropriate. Do you hear that?
Yes. Sometimes, it's, you know, you do hear that.
So that's there's an educational component.
There's an educational component to that, yes.
Cynthia Yamasaki is the founder of EE Path, which conducts workshops for businesses on etiquette in the workplace. If you can learn more about her and her work on the Conversation Facebook page.